Gary Pippen, and we're broadcasting, of course, from the Inn of the Ozarks in Eureka Springs. The Ozark UFO Conference been underway for a while, and Dolores Cannon, we keep running across each other. You're a world traveler now, and I only go across the country, but you just came in from the Caribbean. You're going to Russia, I hear.
Yeah, I'll be going to Russia and Kiev and Ukraine and Oslo and Norway, and I always go back to England every year also.
Well, we're going to talk about a few of those things in a moment. You know, we've visited with you before about your book, and it should be coming out pretty soon now, your new one.
Yes, but I have, this will be 13 books.
Yeah, that's the reason I said your book, because you've got so many, but I don't know, you're the most prolific person I know when it comes to writing.
Well, see, that's why the books are being translated into many languages all over the world, and that's why I have to travel to all these countries.
Well, I understand, and besides that, you probably like to travel. What'd you do down in the Caribbean?
Oh, that was more of a spiritual thing. I was working with the swamis at an ashram, a yoga teacher's center. I speak at so many different kinds of conferences because my books are broad subjects all across the road with metaphysics.
And let's we have a link on our website to your bookstore, but let's give it a plug for the radio listeners, how they can find out. You got two new books here, I think.
Yes, and I have my new book. We publish other people. We're a publishing company. And I have my new book should be out in the next few weeks. But the name of my company is Ozark Mountain Publishing. So it is www.ozarkmt.com. It's abbreviated.
Okay, well, you got to get it just right on the web or you don't find it.
Definitely. Yeah. But I do want to say I've been helping with this conference since its beginning. This is where I live. It's my own backyard.
Yeah, not far from here.
Yes, and that way when I'm not traveling doing UFO conference, this is one where I like to relax. I don't have to speak here. We just help take care of it.
Right. Well, you know, this conference has been going on for several years now, and it's very successful, and it's always fun to come to Eureka Springs anyway.
Oh, yeah, people like it here because it's such a beautiful place.
And it's always in the spring, and that's a pretty time.
But, you know, the Laughlin, Nevada one is the largest in the country. This we consider to be the second largest.
Now, let's talk just a little bit about, I want to get into UFOs with you here in a moment, but this new book, what's the subject matter and what's the name of it?
Okay, the new one is not UFOs. It deals with, my book is called The Convoluted Universe, and it's turning into a series. This is the second book in the Convoluted Universe series.
Right, when you were on with us with Farah in Laughlin, we talked a little bit about it.
Yeah, this is complicated metaphysics. Because as I've been doing this for so long, you know, I've been involved in hypnosis for 40 years and as a past life therapist for over 30 years, and it just keeps going into more and more different avenues of the unknown and the paranormal. So I begin to getting a lot of these complicated metaphysical theories, and that's what's coming up in the new books now.
Now, and we discussed that in great detail on another show, which they can always, it's always available on our website for free. We keep them up for years, so.
But my work with UFOs, I've come up with theories and ideas that the other investigators haven't.
I'd like to hear some of those. In fact, after we did the last interview, somebody stopped me there at the Flamingo in Laughlin, said, you really should have heard her theories about UFOs. It's unique. Tell us a little bit about that theory.
See, that's why I can speak at so many different conferences, because my work is on so many different subjects. But I've been over 20 years as an investigator with UFOs and ET and abduction cases as a hypnotist. And I started out with just the abduction cases, but then it got bigger than that, because the things I were coming up with is very positive. This is why, to me, it's not negative at all. A lot of the other investigators and the lecturers talk about, they say they're here to take over the world and they figure all these bad things. I have not found any of that. I have only found the positive. And some of the theories that I've come up with, see, they have what they call the hard scientist investigators. They don't believe anything unless they can see it, touch it, measure it, or dissect it. Yeah. Well, it doesn't work that way. And they always want to know, what kind of fuel do you have to go from this planet to the next star out there? It doesn't work that way. they are in a little box and they're not thinking the right way. Because it doesn't take fuel, for one thing. I found that they use the power of their own mind to power the craft. And it doesn't, not just one, but the whole group on the craft can be using it at the same time. Their energy is stored in giant crystals on board the craft, and this powers the craft.
Okay, tell me, how do you do that?
You go through dimensions, and they do this by just changing the vibration and the frequency of the craft. Because, you know, if you watch a propeller blade or a fan blade, when it speeds up, it becomes invisible. This is what they do. They speed up the vibration of the craft, and it will just automatically shift into the next dimension.
The interesting thing about this, when you mention things like this, Dolores, is I got to ask, well, where are they from? Just another dimension? Are they part of the Earth or part of the solar system or part of everywhere? I mean,
I guess you would say a part of everywhere. Star Trek is really not fiction. Neither is Star Wars. On board the craft, there are many from many different places, many different planets. Some of them can't even go back to their homes because their homes have been destroyed. And they live on board the craft all the time. Other ones, their homes are so far away that they don't go. They have their families on board the craft. But there is a huge range of the different types of beings that do this. But it is their job to go through the galaxy and check up on the planets from time to time to see how they're doing.
When you say it's their job, do they have some sort of federation or something? Something like Star Trek?
Yeah, very definitely. Star Trek is not fiction.
Well, I would like to know about that.
There is a famous psychic called Phyllis Schlimmer, and she lived in Florida for many years, and she wrote some books. She was channeling aliens way, way back before it was ever popular to do this. Well, about 40, 50 years. Gene Roddenberry lived in her house for 20 years. Uh-huh. He was exposed to all of these same things you're hearing now about how they travel and where they come from. So the things that are on Gene Roddenberry's show is not fiction. He got it from these being exposed to this. He had the imagination to take it and turn it into a fiction story that would go and would sell. That was the difference. So this is where he got the information. Like I was just talking about shifting the dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when they go mock so-and-so.
Yes.
And engage. That's what they're doing. They are raising the vibration and they disappear.
And go to somewhere else.
When the other investigators are using hypnosis, they are staying in the emotional part of the mind. They're afraid. They've told me they're afraid to go any further than that. The technique that I've developed, I think we talked about this before,
yes.
I go into the deepest level. You remove the conscious part of the mind, the emotional part, and go into the subconscious mind. If you remove that part where you have all the fear and the emotion, then you go into what really happened. And it's not at all what the person thinks happened or what they remember happened, because they're remembering it with a distorted view from colored by the emotions.
So in other words, it's not necessarily just we talk about screen memories. It's actually deeper than that. It's you kind of put your own reality into it, and you don't necessarily have the right answer.
Yeah, the conscious memory, these people, especially when they have a lot of fear, they said fear is the strongest emotion a human has, and if you don't understand something, you're going to color it with fear. Well, I have found you get past that. What really happened, they can handle it then. It's no therapy if they're caught up in the fear and the emotion. I've done cases where other investigators have worked with these people, got these horrible stories. I work with them and get an entirely different story. And the person will say, if that's what happened, I can live with it. Because it is much more positive than they think.
Now, what do you think Dolores brings up these different ideas? I had a fellow in Las Vegas on a show that had gone through regression therapy in which he thought the therapist had done him some damage.
What did he say happened?
Well, he said that he basically had, he has memories of devils. And
that hypnotist did not know what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
Because that, I've been doing this, like I said, 40 years, I've never had anything like that happen. If the person doesn't know what they're doing or bringing up their own belief system, You can hurt the person you're working with. My job is to protect that person at all times.
Now, do you still take new clients?
Oh, definitely. I see them all the time.
And they can contact you through your website or what?
I have an office now in Huntsville, Arkansas, where I live near there.
Yes.
But I do see clients when I'm traveling on the road and doing lectures.
Now, what? Speaking of that, when you're in Kiev and other parts that used to be behind the Iron Curtain, which has changed drastically, I understand. I haven't been there since.
I've been to Bulgaria.
You run across the same stories there as you do here?
I have found these stories all over the world, and I've documented everything. That's why I've written so many books about this. I believe if you're going to talk to those different people who don't know each other on all parts of the world, and they all come up with the same stories, there has to be something to it. But the other investigators get into this emotion, but I work from a different level. You block out that conscious mind and the fear, the truth comes out. See, that's what I was told in my work, that the ideal situation would be that the person never remember anything. They don't want to interfere in the person's life, let them go on with their life. But they said the problem is the additives in our food, the pollutants in the air. If the person is on any kind of medication, drugs, or alcohol, this will disturb the chemistry of the brain and makes them remember the event in a distorted fashion.
So in other words, you're saying the ETs don't have bad habits?
No, they're way past that.
Okay.
Way past all of that. But they're not here to hurt us.
Okay.
No, I've not found any of that. I've found the reasons they're here, and they've been working with us since the beginning of the world. They're not going to harm us, but that's the fear part that people bring in there.
So, in other words, we're talking about Star Trek, the Prime Directive, that's actually...
Not interference, definitely. They are not allowed.
And so you don't think that we have something terrible waiting to happen?
They are trying to help us save ourselves. They're very disturbed with what we're doing to the world. They don't like it. They're trying to help us. They're actually afraid of us. With our violence.
Well, we are a pretty violent species.
They said we're one of the worst in the galaxies. They said our world was created with free will, and they have to honor that. It's to see what the species would do with the free will so they can't interfere.
You know, it's interesting you bring up that term free will, whether you're talking to people about religion or spirituality or some other things, that term always comes up, free will. And so there must be something to it.
But the idea was to see what we would do with it and how far we would take it, and they're not pleased, believe me.
It seems to me that there's lots of sightings these days and lots of people that are being impacted one way or the other. Is it always been this way and we just weren't aware, or is there a reason why it's happening now, you think?
Well, they would like to get more of our attention, but they have been coming since the beginning of time. This has been part of their agenda, is to check up on the Earth as it evolved from the basic one-cell animals to now, to check up on the growth as it evolved. So they've been coming for a long time, and now they're coming more because we're becoming a threat.
Yeah, you keep hearing about the nuclear threat and a few other things. Things aren't really going well.
No, they don't want us to contaminate the rest of the galaxy.
Do you think they'll always have this non-interference? Or?
They said the only way they would interfere would be if we were going to be stupid enough to blow up the world. But then it would interfere, the vibrations would go out through the entire cosmos, and it would interfere not only the other planets, the galaxies, but also the other dimensions. So if that came to that point, they would have to do something to stop us. Otherwise, they have to see how far are we going to push it. And they're not pleased at all.
Now, when you... do this regression. It's pretty much the same story all the time, when you get past all of the flack. In other words, why are they having contact with certain people is what I'm trying to get to.
We're all part of the program. It's an experiment. It's been going on since the beginning of the world.
I mean, it is literally we pick up an animal in the forest and tag it and let it go back out?
Yeah. And I've worked with people that have been generations have been involved in this. I've worked with a grandmother, the mother, the children. They're all having the same experiences. And it's to check everyone to see how we are doing. And it's all part of this program. And they said there's tens of thousands of people all over the world that are involved in this program. And other people say, well, I didn't volunteer for this, but you did. Uh-huh. If you believe in, like I have taken people through death on the spiritual side.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that, and that's a fascinating subject. I want to do a show with you sometime on that particular thing.
But see, that's why mind crosses many boundaries. Uh-huh. But before you come back into a life, you do a review and say what you're going to try to accomplish the next life. You make a contract. And as you're making this contract, sometimes these ETs will come to you on the spirit side and say, this is what we're going to be involved with while you're alive. Do you want to be part of the project? You sign the contract.
You literally sign it?
You do. And they say later, whenever this is going on and people are so angry, they say, don't you remember you signed on for this? And they say, if you don't want to be involved, just tell us. We don't want those kind of people in here. But the ones that are involved are having the genes changed, and a lot of them are saying this is bad, but it's to keep our body from having the diseases that we brought on it. They're trying to wipe out the diseases and trying to extend our lifespan. It is not a negative thing at all.
So there's actually something to this whole area of healing. In connection with UFO.
Oh, I've had miraculous healings that have taken place. I had three people in the last few months that had their heart valves replaced by the ETs. They didn't know it until we did the sessions. And I've had miraculous healings because these are the ones that are in the program. After one lecture, this man came up to me and said, how do I get in the program? And I said, I don't know. I don't have anything to do with that part. But this is also the explanations for the cattle mutilations, because they're very concerned with what we are putting in our body. We are contaminating our food. We're contaminating our bodies. This is a major concern. So they said with the cattle mutilations, they're checking the food that we eat and see how we're contaminating it.
So there's nothing nefarious about draining all the blood out of that animal.
They're checking it. And they said they haven't done half of the ones that they say they have done. It's a lot of the other government, other places are involved with the rest. But they are trying to check what we are doing with the meat, and they don't like it. This stuff that they're putting in the meat, we get into our bodies, it stays in the organs.
I guess all species eat?
No, that's why they think we're the strange ones. There's three things about us that they like to observe, because we're the different ones, not them. One of them is that we eat, we consume food. They said when you consume food, you're actually aging the body, and this is what kills the person, is the consumption of food. And our scientists are studying this. They found two ways that we causes us to age and die. We eat and we breathe. And our scientists are trying to cut that out. Most of them live off of light. The light penetrates the body, and this keeps them alive.
You have to have some kind of fuel to keep going, I guess. That's it.
That's what I said. You have to have something. Yeah. What do you consume?
Well, you know, they probably, of course, they're very sophisticated, I'm sure, over the eons. Probably they puzzle about people who are gluttonous. You know what I mean? They just really enjoy eating flesh or whatever.
Yeah, this is what they said. It's not good for us. But that's, if people ask me, how does God enter into all this? They are closer to God than we will ever be, because they live off of light. And I said, where does the light come from? They said it comes from the source. So without him, they cannot live. They are had a direct connection to the source with the light. But two of the other things they find about us that is strange is that our way of procreation, they think it's quite comical. No, many of them don't have to procreate because they have a set number and they live as long as they want. That's another thing they find strange about us, is that we die. They can live as long as they want. But many of them, when they do procreate, it's done by cloning. and they just create another vehicle, and the soul can enter into it if they've had an accident or something.
So on maybe on some planet, to carry this out, on some planet that they're from, or some other dimension, the animals, nobody's breeding like we do.
And they have a set population that way. And on many of these species, the organs inside the body have atrophied because they're not used anymore. The organs for digesting, eating, and procreation, the intestines, those have all atrophied because they don't need it. This is why some people talk about the little grays as looking frightening. It's because they communicate with thought. Mm-hmm. They don't use the facial muscles anymore that for eating or for speaking. They think we're the strange ones there. But they said, you were making all these facial motions, your mouths are always going and all this sound coming out, and your hands are moving all the time. We're frightening to them. But to them, to us, it looks like a mask because there's no expression. That's because they don't use those muscles anymore, and it's done mind to mind.
Now, you know, we keep hearing in ufology all kinds of species.
Yeah, there's many different kinds.
And so there's something to that.
Yes, because we developed in the mammal line.
Uh-huh.
Other ones developed in the insectoid line.
Well, yeah, every time I do something on the air that somebody doesn't like, I get an email or two calling me a reptilian.
The reptilians are not bad either.
Well, I started to say that's probably, we're just transposing that.
In our culture, we look on reptiles as being negative, but it just means they developed along another line. They said you'd be surprised what you could have looked like. It's whatever would catch on to form a creature. That's, it can be different on many different planets. There's many that you wouldn't even think would be alive because they're so strange.
You mean they literally, most of these ones, let me back up and say it this way. Most of the beings we talk about, and in science fiction as well, They have two arms and two legs.
The most common form in the galaxy, because it's the most, I guess you would say, suitable, it is functional.
There could be something like Jabba the Hutt, for instance.
It could be anything, and I've found some of those like that, but that's just like on Star Wars, you know, they have many that are different.
Yes.
But they said you've got to get past this idea that we're all the same, really. We always think anything that's different has got to be bad, and it's not like that. See, if you go back to what the main thing of my work is, we're all a soul, a spirit. This is just a vehicle, a suit of clothes we're wearing right now. The vehicle will wear out. The suit of clothes wears out. You eventually have to throw it away. Next time, you just get a different suit. If you want to go and live in an alien body, you can do it. We've all been aliens, so why should we put them over here as to be afraid of?
It's interesting. You know, the human race is very close-minded in these things.
That's what my job is, to try to get them to look at these things from a different direction. Because I found some of my books were cases where people, instead of going into past lives with my regressions, they went into lives on other planets, other dimensions. There's some dimensions where you don't even have a body. You're just energy and light. They are beautiful people. They can form a body any way they want to. So you have to get past the idea that this is all there is.
So literally, you're saying to our listeners, they need to start thinking outside the box, literally. I mean, we're not talking about just different kinds of mammals, reptilians, insects, etc. We're talking about totally different forms, like white people, and etc., etc.
But they said, how can we expect you to accept this when you won't even accept the other ones in your own human race that are different?
Well, that's what I was getting at. We get a long ways to go, don't we?
We do, because they said, if you can't even accept the different cultures and races in your own human race, how do you expect to accept those that are different? This is one of the reasons for the screen memories, is because they don't want to shock the psyche. They know we can only take so much.
So I guess on the scale of what they deal with, we're down just below kindergarten.
Oh, yeah. We are way down there. We got a long way to go. They want us to develop to the point that we can work with them, because they said we will be an asset. We have our curiosity and our creativity. and they want that. But where we are at right now, we're going to have to get rid of the negativity and the violence.
What is it about the human mind, you think, that always conjures up evil? I mean, it's always, if we see something we don't understand, that's one of the conclusions we go to. I mean, you read mythology, you read everything, things that probably had legitimate explanations. People literally would grab the people and hang them or boil them in water.
Believe me, I've had cases like that in my work where they were killed in other lives for believing, for doing things like that. That's what we have to change our belief system, is we find out it's not negative. But look at how many generations and thousands of years we've been, had this indoctrinated into us. That's why it's going to be hard to get away from that.
But you, overall, you do think that there is hope for mankind.
They think so.
They haven't given up on us.
No, they haven't, because they really want to help us. But it's been a step-by-step process, and we are beginning to get there. They're reawakening the psychic abilities in the human mind that have been dormant since the days of Atlantis. It all was highly developed in those days, and then it was taken away because mankind misused the abilities. Now they're going to allow it to come back. They're hoping we'll be able to use it. Once we do that, then maybe we'll begin to climb out of this cavern that we've been in.
It appears to me that perhaps we might have to stop and start all over a couple of times yet.
Well, they don't want that to happen. But they said if it it could, because the way the world is going.
You know, I'm a Sagittarian, I'm an optimist, but I don't see much to be optimistic about.
They don't want it to happen again. They said Atlantis was not the only one. There have been many civilizations that have risen to great heights and then have been destroyed. But they said if it happened again, we would end up being a legend, just like Atlantis. Everything, all our culture would be gone.
Do you have any idea? I guess this stretches across more than our galaxy, more than just another dimension, many dimensions. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, many dimensions. They say many universes. It is so vast, we can't even comprehend it.
It's one of the things I see. The difficulty with is the human mind really can't grasp. I have trouble grasping that there might be parallel universes or maybe not even parallel, going in opposite directions.
Yeah, it's the enormity of the whole thing. We can't handle it, and that's the problem. It makes it so hard to try to put it into space. You see, that's what the average person out there is just thinking of, this body and this life, and not realizing it is so much more. That's what I tell people, you are not a body, you have a body. And you have to begin to take the first baby steps to explore beyond that. And then you're going to find a whole world out there that is so exciting and different. And it's not limited by our prejudices.
Well, Dolores Cannon, it's been enjoyable the time. It always is every time we run across each other. You got this book, and this is the second in the series.
Second in the Convoluted Universe series.
And you got a favorite topic you write about? Or do you like them all?
I like them all, but I mean,
even mothers have favorite children. They don't like to admit it.
I've seen my work evolve, but the favorite, I guess, is the books on Jesus, on the missing years and the missing parts. Those are classics now all over the world. They've been translated in 20 languages.
How did you, Arkansas is part of the Bible Belt. How did you come across that research? And
people that I've worked with. But I will say, in the Bible Belt here, a lot of them don't really know what I do.
Well, I identify with that. I live in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and nobody knows what the hell I do. And it's probably, actually, I find it relaxing.
I'm on the road constantly, flying all over the world, and so I live that world. Then I come home. Nobody knows what I do. Nobody cares. I can be myself. You have to have this balance in this kind of work. Otherwise, you go off the deep end.
You travel all over. What's the European countries, the Eastern European bloc, where you're going now? It appears to me that they're probably going in the right direction. Keep us abreast of what's happening, and I'm sure we'll run across you again pretty soon.
I'll be in India in September, so I'm going everywhere.
That's a whole topic. India is liable to make some sort of disclosure of something. There's a lot of things coming out of there.
Oh, yes. That's why I'm involved in it all, and it's wonderful work. I'm not going to slow down anytime soon.
Thanks very much, Dolores. Dolores Cannon, everyone. I'm Jerry Pippin. You're listening to the UFO Files, and we're at the end of the Ozarks in Eureka Springs, Arkansas.